All right. Thank you, children, so much. We praise and kids praise on Wednesday night. It's happening here at Lindsay Lane. I want to say a word of appreciation to all of the leaders who work with our We Praise and Kids Praise on Wednesday nights. We have a regular worship service on Wednesday nights at 6:30. If you're an adult, you'd like to come over here and be with us in the big church. You can bring your children. They'll be over there in We Praise and Kids Praise, not only learning about Jesus Christ, but learning how to worship Him. It's very imperative that we learn to worship our Lord and our Savior. They do a great job. So as they're leaving, let's just give them our appreciation once again. I want to say a special thank you to Stacy Wolf and her team. They do an excellent job on Wednesday nights. I appreciate them. And Brother Dwayne, if they keep drawing crowds like this, we're going to have the children's choir sing every week, all right? You come out for the children. Thank you so much for being here today. May God bless you. If you want to go ahead and open your Bible this morning to 1 Timothy chapter 4. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Well, spring is in the air, is it not? So is the pollen. Those of us who have allergies, I'm telling you, it's been kind of a tough month with all these allergies going around, but spring is here. It really is. People are getting outside. Have you noticed that? They're getting outside now. They're playing golf. They're fishing. They're going on picnics. And spring fever has arrived. Everybody's got cabin fever, and now it's taken over by spring fever. People are just getting out. Also, spring cleaning is happening. I notice people are cleaning out their garages, they're having yard sales and doing all those kind of things. They're mowing their grass, stirring up the pollen. But anyway, they're cutting grass, planting flowers, just doing all of those things that people do in the springtime. And isn't it beautiful outside? I was just outside yesterday in our backyard just noticing all the leaves are out now and the trees and all the flowers are budding and all those kind of things are happening. And it's just a beautiful time of the year. It's just like life is coming back to planet Earth, is it not? All the dead in the wintertime, the leaves are gone and falling, all of that, and kind of dreary looking. But now it's so green and the flowers are blooming. It's just a beautiful time of the year in spring. And people have been spring cleaning, all those type of things. Well, with spring comes taking off the winter coat. A lot of us have to take off that winter coat. You know that, another 10 pounds or 15 pounds that we've accumulated during those winter months. So now spring is here, we got to get in the gym. And you better watch out because the gym is packed. I can tell you that right now. And you'll get run over at the gym if you're not careful. I mean, I go at 5 o'clock in the morning. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people there at 5 o'clock in the morning. So you're liable to get run over at the gym. It reminds me of what I've heard about these two cowboys. They came upon an Indian who was lying on his stomach with his ear to the ground. And one of the cowboys stopped and told the other one, said, "You know what? You see that Indian right there?" He said, "Yeah, I see him." He said, "He's listening to the ground. He can hear things from miles in any direction." And just then the Indian looks up. "Covered wagon," he says, "about 2 miles away. Have two horses, one brown, one white. Man, woman, child. Household effects in wagon." "Incredible," said one of the cowboys to his friend. "This Indian knows how far away they are, how many horses, what color they are, who's in the wagon, what's in the wagon. It's amazing." And the Indian looks up and said, "Yeah, ran over me about a mile away." So you're going to get run over at the gym and trying to get in shape and for the summer. And that's kind of what I want to talk to us about today is getting in shape spiritually. Getting in shape spiritually. And not only do we have spring cleaning, there's also spring training. I know down at the Capstone last week and also down on the plains, and I think even up in Rocky Top. We wouldn't know they practice, but they do up there, all right? Mickey, but anyway, even in Rocky Top, they've had spring training. Now, why spring training? Our high schools, Athens High School, East Limestone High School, and other high schools represented here, they also participate in spring training for the football teams. And the question is, why do you have spring training? What's the purpose of it? Well, you got new incoming freshmen, and you got some transfers and all those type things, and they're getting acclimated to the system. They're getting acclimated to the plays and to the formation, to the other players, to the team. So spring training is necessary for that. And not only that, but they're getting in shape. They're getting in shape for the fall season. The fall's coming when it's game time. And so they're getting in shape, and they're running and exercising in the springtime and getting ready for the fall season. And I think that's the way it is in the church as well. We need to have spring training and spring cleaning in our own lives in the spiritual connotation. And you and I need to realize there's periods of our lives where we go through winter, if you will, in our spiritual lives, to where we just kind of get lackadaisical, we get lethargic, we get lazy, and we just kind of drift away from what we've been doing maybe, and we kind of neglect Bible study, we kind of neglect church sometimes, and neglect our devotional times, and before you know it, we're out of shape. Spiritually speaking, we're just out of shape. And so today I just want to make a Claritin call, if you will, that we would come back together and get in shape, spiritually speaking, because we need to stay in shape for the Lord. So I want to talk to you about getting in shape. Heard about an elderly gentleman who went to see a doctor for a checkup. And on a finished examination, the doctor said, "Man, you're fit as a fiddle. You'll probably live to be 80 years old." In which the man said, "Well, I am 80 years old." He said, "See what I told you?" Pay a lot for that, don't we? And I went to the doctor the other day, and he said, "Dusty, I want you to get on this diet. And in 3 months, I want to see about 3/4 of you back in here." I had to find me another doctor, all right? I didn't like that one. 1 Timothy chapter 4, I want to talk to you as Paul admonishes young Timothy, his protege. Paul's speaking to him in this chapter about exercising. Now, that's a word we don't like to hear at times, but all of us need to be exercising physically, getting our bodies in shape, but also, more importantly than that, you need to exercise your spiritual being. Inside of your body, there is a spiritual being if you're a Christian. When you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, He came into your life in the Spirit. So inside of you, there's a spiritual being. On the outside is your physical fleshly body. And that's what everybody sees, and that's why we exercise it a lot more than we do our inside. But inside of you is going to live forever, while the outside is going to go back in the ground. So doesn't it make sense that we would exercise the spiritual part of us, which lives forever and ever and ever, and not exercise our body as much as we do our spiritual life, even though we need to exercise our body as well, because those two go together. Our spiritual body and our physical body go together while we're here on earth. Now, one day we're going to lay this physical body down. But our spiritual being, our spiritual life, if you will live forever and ever. So it makes sense to me that while I'm here, I need to be learning about that spiritual being inside of me. And I need to be in spiritual fitness. And so I want to talk to us about that today. All right? 1 Timothy chapter 4, look in verse 6. 1 Timothy 4, look in verse 6. "If you instruct the brethren," now Paul's speaking to Timothy, writing to him rather, "if you instruct the brethren in these things, you will be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished in the words of faith and of the good doctrine which you have carefully followed. But reject profane and old wise fables and exercise yourself toward godliness." That's the theme today. Look at it, verse 7. "Exercise yourself toward godliness. For body exercise profits a little." Bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things. Having promise of the life that now is, which we celebrate right now. I've got eternal life right now, but when I lay this body down, I'm going to continue my eternal life, which now is and of that which is to come. This is a faithful saying. And it's worthy of all acceptance. So I hope you'll accept it this morning. Verse 9, 10. "For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God, who is the Savior of A-double-L, who is the Savior of all men, especially of those who believe," especially of the elect. It makes sense to me, those who believe are the elect. Read it. He's the Savior of all men, especially to those who believe, the elect. Just thought I'd throw that in. That's not in the message, but it's in my heart. All right? Verse 11. "These things command and teach." Verse 12. Let no one despise or look down on you, in the Greek text says, don't let no one look down on you, Timothy, because you're a young man. But be an example to all the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attention to the reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine or teaching. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership. In other words, he was ordained. Verse 15, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them that your progress may be evident to all people. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this you will save both yourself and those who hear you. And Father, would you just give your spirit to this message today? And Lord, would you anoint us? Would you speak to our hearts? Father, we're in a position right now that we can hear a word from you. And Father, we can even neglect this word, or we can accept this word. And Lord, utilize this word to help us to grow spiritually. Father, all of us in this room need to be in a process of growing spiritually. We need to work on our spiritual fitness. So I pray today, Lord, that we would hear well and apply this word to our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, the theme of this message, the theme, I believe, of the text and contextual text here is exercise your body toward, or your life toward godliness. Exercise yourself toward godliness. In other words, get in shape. Get in spiritual shape. And that's what I want to talk to you about today. Now, I want you to look at 2 Timothy 2:16. Just turn over a page or two and look in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and look in verse 16. Notice the word that Paul writes in this second epistle that he sends to Timothy. Now look in 2:16. But shun profane and empty or idle babblings. And he's talking about doctrines here, talking about the teachings. There were a lot of false teachers in Timothy's day, in Paul's day. So he said, I don't want you to listen to all that old fable stuff, that pie in the sky, mamby-pamby kind of preaching. He said, I want you to listen to the doctrine, the teachings of God's word. He said, shun profane and idle babblings, for they will increase to more ungodliness. So he just said in verse 7 in 1 Timothy, exercise yourself toward godliness. And he said in verse 7 also to reject those profane babblings, all of those things, because they're just going to lead to more ungodliness. And by word, we're hearing a lot of things from our pulpits today, from our TVs today, and all the things that's really ungodly. It's not really doctrinal. It's not really from this book. So I encourage you today to get in the book, get in the Word of God, know what the Word of God says, and don't listen to all that other stuff that's going around out there. It'll confuse you, first of all, and if you yield to that, it'll cause you to be ungodly, because godliness comes from the Word of God. So adhere to this Word of God, and God wants to bless you. Now, there's a lot of us, probably in this room today, probably most of us, who need to get in shape spiritually. We really do. We need to really get back to the basics, or maybe how we used to be, or maybe we never got there really, but we're growing. We're wanting to be there. We want to be in shape. I don't know of anybody that doesn't want to be in shape, but it takes effort and discipline to get there. And that's what I want to help us with today. Mark Twain had a great quote. I love reading Mark Twain. He just got a kind of an irony that I like. He said this, the only way to keep your health is to eat what you don't want, drink what you don't like, and do what you'd rather not do. Boy, that's encouraging, isn't it? Staying in shape. Do those things you really don't want to do. You really don't want to get up early and go to the gym. Your body says, no, I don't want to go. But you're disciplined enough that you know you need to go. If you don't go, if you eat like I do, you know what's going to happen. And it's happening, all right? So you got to say, I need to do this. I need to discipline my body. I need to exercise. I need to bring my body under control, because it's out of control maybe. It's the same thing with your spiritual life. You don't want to go up in your study. You don't want to get up early and read the Bible. It's just not really natural for the natural man. But you have a spirit inside of you that needs feeding. There's a spirit inside of you that God's placed in you, and you need to feed that spirit. And the way you do that is get in the Word of God. You get in your devotional time. You get in your prayer closet, and you talk with God. You intercede with God. You listen to God. You respond to God. And then because you're Christian, you come to church and hear the Word of God preached and taught and sung. And then you go out and exercise your faith. Because you've been in the exercise room and you're getting spiritually fit, and now you can go out and exercise that. We do that physically. Man, you lose 20 pounds and see what you do and where you go now. You'll wear things you never worn before, and you'll go places you probably never went before. And see, because you're proud because you've lost that weight and you're physically fit now. It's the same thing spiritually. You need to get in shape spiritually. And God will help you do that if you'll seek Him. He really will. Study reveals this. Listen to this study. Study reveals that 80% of Americans own running shoes but don't run. By the way, I have a pair of running shoes. I don't run. I walk slowly. Anyway, what does that mean? It means probably that we want to look and appear athletic. Man, we got those new running shoes on, and we got a pie in our hand. Amen? Or a Hershey bar. We just got chocolate all over my mouth. But I got my running shoes on. And so it appears to be athletic, and so it can happen to us spiritually. We can come to church. We can go to conference, whatever, and we appear to be spiritually on the outside. But on the inside, we really, if we're honest, we know that we're not growing spiritually. It just looks like we're growing because we're in this class, we're in this service, we're in this conference, we're in this and that, and it looks like we're a great Christian growing spiritually, but inside, we're not really growing. We're lethargic, and we're sometimes even lazy. And so I want to help us with this because I really believe as we see the spring coming, it really incites me, it really does, because I know that, you know, summer's coming, all those things we'd be outside, and all the spring things we get to do and summer things, and same thing spiritually. You need to be thinking about your spiritual life and growing. You need to position yourselves to be blessed so you can grow in the Lord. Now, I want to get on a little soapbox just for a moment. I wish I had one up here. I need to get me a little box that's got soap on it so I can stand on it. But just for a moment, I'll give you an example. My staff and I met not long ago. We tried to really pray and come up with something so we could disciple our church. I told my staff, I really feel like evangelistic, we've got that. I believe our people are sharing their faith and all that. But we're not being discipled the way we need to be. So we prayed through that, and I heard about this program called Life University. And we implemented that on Sunday nights. We got 10 courses that you can come and learn how to be a disciple of Christ. And let me be honest with you, about 600 to 700 of you aren't participating in that. And that's a tragedy. It's a tragedy that your church is offering you a discipleship programs and courses that you can come and be discipled. And yet we don't take advantage of that. That's because we're not spiritually fit and not growing in the Lord at times. And we need to understand there's things that we can do to help us to grow in the Lord. And you need to take advantage of those type of things. All right, I'm off. I'm back over here, okay? I needed to say that, and you needed to hear that. Now, can we change? Can we get healthier? Can we grow spiritually? Yes. The answer is yes. But here's what it's going to take. It may take a change in your lifestyle. I'm told if I need to lose weight, which I do, I've got to change my eating habits. I don't want to change my eating habits. I like my eating habits. I like chocolate. All right, I like it. I like other stuff like hamburgers and French fries, and I love all those kind of things. I don't want to change my eating habits. But then again, I don't want to be large. And so something's got to change, right? Something's got to change. See, the Lord's speaking. Something's going to have to change. He's speaking to me, all right? He's speaking to me. I'm hearing Him. Something's got to change in my life. So listen to this. Let's just say your life is out of kilter spiritually. You're struggling spiritually. and you keep doing the same things you've always done, and you wonder why your life is in such an array, such a struggle spiritually. Something's got to change. A lifestyle has to change. Say your marriage is in a rut. Say you, your husband, your wife, you're just at odds and you don't know what's going on. Something's got to change. Something's got to change in your life. And you've got to be willing to discipline yourselves, listen to God in the area of spiritual growth so you can change some things and allow Him to change some things in your life. You may have to get up a little earlier to get into the Bible study or to get in prayer or whatever. If you're going to get in the gym, you got to get up earlier usually, or you got to make an effort to get to the gym to lose weight. Same thing spiritually. You got to discipline yourselves to grow spiritually. And I'm telling you, it's the truth. It's the same thing. The physical body and our inner spiritual being are both very important. They're united together. The spiritual body, the spiritual being and the physical body are united together. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20. Those two verses talks about that. Don't you know that your body's not your own? It's God's. It was bought at a price. Therefore, honor Him in your body and in your spirit. You honor Him with your body. Our bodies are what? The Bible says your body is His temple. My body is His temple. Temple of what? Why does Paul refer to the body as a temple? Because the temple is housing the Spirit. So inside of you lives the Spirit of Almighty God, and your body is the temple of it. And so they go together. You need to exercise your body. You need to exercise your spirit so that you will grow spiritually. And God will help you with that. So let me give you these five things very quickly, and that'll help us. These five T's, so just as a guidepost, just to help us. Number one is time. Time is my greatest commodity, and I imagine it is yours too. So time, how do we deal with time? Now in verse number 7, Philip's translation says this: take the time and the trouble to keep yourself spiritually fit. That's what the Bible says. Take the time and the trouble, that means the discipline, to keep your spirit physically fit, or keep yourself spiritually fit. It takes time, listen to this, it takes time to be healthy, and it takes time to be holy. Amen? It takes time to be healthy. If you're going to be in shape, you got to dedicate some time to working out. If you're going to be in shape spiritually, you got to take some time and some discipline to get in shape spiritually. Amen? So, just remember that. They go together. So, look what the Bible says. Now, I want you to look in. I want to be spiritually fit. I really do. I want to be physically fit. I'm not, but I want to be, and I'm working on that. By the way, I'm starting something tomorrow. Going to help me. Amen. Again. I'm starting something again tomorrow. I really am. And so I believe it's going to really help me because I'm really serious, because the older you get, the harder it is to keep it off. And all the senior adults said, amen. Amen. It is. Young people, you don't have to worry about it now, but one day you will. It'll catch up with you. And so it gets harder. And so to stay in physical shape, you've got to do some things to discipline your body. Same thing spiritually. Now I want you to listen to this quote. Barth Campbell said this: the difficulty in establishing a consistent an effective physical exercise program is well known. The effort required to block out time for exercise 3 or 4 times a week sometimes seems insurmountable difficulty, and therefore many individuals remain content in being physically unfit. Yet the benefits of physical exercise are significant for those who persevere in their efforts to exercise and eat healthy foods. Paul maintains, however, that those who train themselves in godliness, that is, for the purpose of attaining the quality of spiritual growth, will find far greater rewards. Devotion to God and development of Christ's likeness has recompense for this life and the life to come. Great effort, however, is required. Like the athlete in training, the believer must discipline the body and its actions through devotion to prayer and avoidance of sin. The Christian must habitually consume vital and wholesome nutrients through the studying of God's Word. I read that to tell you this. Just like you would physically eat right, eat nutrients, vitamins, and all those things that are good for you, you need to learn to discipline yourself to do that spiritually. Stay away from sin. Stay away from the things that's going to bring you down spiritually. If you're going to be spiritually fit, you've got to discipline yourself to know what's going to bring you down spiritually and what's going to lift you up spiritually. And so you begin to discipline yourselves in this area so you're growing spiritually. And I'm telling you, it's just like losing weight. When you lose weight, you feel good about it. You really do. You feel good about yourself. You're proud of yourself. You've lost 5 pounds or whatever. You're eating right. You feel good about that. I promise you, when you start growing spiritually, you learn to feel good about yourself. You learn to feel good about, I'm growing spiritually. I'm not making the same old mistakes I made last year or last month. I'm growing. I'm not saying the same things I used to say. Some of us go through life saying the same old vocabulary we had before we got saved. And that's wrong. It tells me you're not growing spiritually in that area. Commit it to God. Know you got a problem with it. Discipline yourself to grow in Christ. When I got saved, I had to change 80% of my vocabulary. I was a hellion, cusser. And Christ came into my life and changed my life. And the Holy Spirit told me when I was cussing. The Holy Spirit would grip my heart and say, that's wrong saying that. It's wrong going there. It's wrong watching that. And that's how you know you're growing spiritually, because the Spirit is alive in you. And the Spirit's guiding you, convicting you, correcting you, and lifting you up. The Spirit of God will do that for you. But if it's laying dormant, oh, I got saved back there a few years ago, but I'm not really growing, and the Spirit's laying dormant in you. And therefore, you can still cuss, you can still do those things, and it may not bother you as much, but you start getting in the Word of God, you start getting close to God, it'll convict your heart. Because the Spirit is resonating inside of you. It's aroused inside of you. When you read the Scripture and pray before God, it arouses the Spirit of God in you. And it tells you, don't do that anymore. Don't go there. Don't say that. But if you're not feeding the Spirit, it's just going to lie there dormant. You got to feed the Spirit of God. You got to work out spiritually. I'm telling you the truth this morning. I hope you're listening. The bottom line, spiritual fitness requires time and proper spiritual nutrition. Just as the body needs proper nourishment and nutrients, so does the spiritual body. Needs them too. And this is the Word of God. You feed on the Word of God. Jesus said what? I am the bread of life. I'm the bread of life. Feed on it. Jeremiah talked about feeding on the Word of God. And so we learn. Jesus said in Matthew 4:4, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, physically alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And so bread alone will be physical, and then every word of the mouth of the Lord means spiritually. Jesus himself knew, even in his humanity, that he had to feed on the Word of God. Without the Lord, without God, he said, I can do nothing without the Father, nothing. And so he fed on that. So in other words, we need to pay more attention to our physical being than really our spiritual being. Now, let me just do a little quiz here, and I'll move on to the next one. How much time, and I when I did this message, I asked myself this, and I didn't do too well at times myself. So let me just, we're all in the boat together, right? Hope you know that. I'm not preaching down, I'm preaching up. So there's 168 hours in a week. 7-day week, there's 168 hours in a week. So my question is this, Dusty, how much time do you spend with God in a 168-hour week? How many hours of that week do you actually spend spiritually working out? There's 168 hours in a week. There's 58 hours in a week if you sleep 8 hours a day. So if you sleep 8 hours a day, you spend 56 hours a week in sleep. Now let's say you work 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's another 56 hours of that week gone. So that leaves 56 hours left for whatever. 56 hours. That's if you work 7 days a week, 8 hours a day, and sleep 8 hours a day, 7 days a week. So that leaves 56 hours left to do whatever you need to do. So out of 56 hours, how many hours do you spend working out spiritually in a week? 10? 5? 1? Maybe I'll go to preaching. I go to hear Pastor Dusty every week. That's 1 hour. 1 hour a week out of 56 hours. If you just come on Wednesday morning, Sunday morning. So you see, when you look at it that way, it says we're out of shape. We're out of shape. So just a reminder to help us to get real back in. Number two is training. Training. It's going to take time. Number two, it's going to take training. Paul admonishes Timothy to instruct the brethren. Look in verse 6. If you instruct the brethren, he talks about instruct the brethren in these things. So Paul is teaching us. He's training us. He's teaching us from the Word of God. Exercise yourself toward godliness. That's what he's talking about. Train them up. Instruct the brethren, Timothy. And Paul says to exercise yourself in godliness. It's going to take working out. It takes working out physically. Now the Greek word, listen to this, the Greek word for exercise yourself there is gymnazo. Gymnazo means to train yourself. It's where we get our word, English word, gymnasium. We draw our English word gymnasium from this Greek word gymnazo, which means to exercise and to train. Now I like to train. Now I ran my first 5K last Saturday, I believe it was. Our children's amazing race. I participated in that. I was training for it. Now, let me tell you what happened. It started at 7 o'clock for those of us who were running the 5K. You had to be there at 7 o'clock. I had a missionary staying with me. So Patsy gets up and cooks breakfast. And we're eating breakfast at the, you know, right there at the last moment. I'm trying to get him out. You know, he's leaving that morning. And so I was planning on trying to run on the treadmill some the week before so I could get a little bit of exercise on that. I've been spinning. I'm in this spinning class, but it's different, I found out Saturday. It's a lot different spinning than running. And so I got Lincoln with me to meet Joe Dare and Heath there, and they're late getting there. So I got Lincoln trying to do something with him, and Stacy's got all the adults over here ready to take off. I'm getting out of the car. I just ate 5 pancakes. I'm really training, all right? And so they're waiting on me. And Daniel says, you better get over there. They're waiting on you. So I run over, I kind of jog over there, and I'm trying to pin this number on me. I just ate these pancakes. It's freezing cold. It's 7 o'clock in the morning. I haven't run any that week. Had never run a 5K in my life. And so I get there to the starting line, and she says, all right, everybody, she prayed, everybody off, and everybody's running off. I'm still pinning my number on. And I get it on, and everybody's gone, and I start running. In a few minutes, I catch Bradley right off. I mean, he's right there at the end. He's still walking. So I catch Bradley. So me and Bradley kind of team up. And so I said, Bradley, there's somebody down there. I believe we can catch him. And so we run real fast, and there's this 6-year-old boy. We pass him. Yes. And we're running, and I don't know what is coming out of Bradley, but it's something going wheezy, wheezy, wheezy. And then I start hearing the same sound out of me. And me and Bradley's praying for each other, and we're saying, are you going to make it? I said, yeah, I'm going to make it. You going to make it? Yeah. Well, there's two ladies down here. There's two young girls. Let's go past them. I said, let's go past them. We can pass them. And so we start jogging again. We get up there, and as soon as we get back from here to Randy, they start running. I'm trying to catch them. We can't catch them. I'm getting frustrated because, you know, I'm supposed to be out here working in the gym, in shape. And so I got this great plan. I said, Brad, I tell you what we're going to do. I know this course. It's a golf course. And so on hole number 15, I know a shortcut. And so I see Christy Anderson. She's been challenging us. She's a runner. Don't they make you sick, these people that jog all the time? and she's just in shape, and she's way out front, and I see her over there on hole number 16, and I said, Betty, follow me. And so we cut through on hole 15 across this little path, and I get right up next to Christy, almost catching her. And I don't know if she looked back or not. I said, we're going to catch her. She just keeps on jogging. And we try to get her, and we can't get her. We can't catch her. And so anyway, we finished, and everybody said, man, that's a good time you had. I said, yeah, I've been working out, all right? And you won't believe this, but I won a prize. Can I get a witness? I finished first in my age group. I was the only one in it. But I finished first. But you know what I did? I participated. I did get in the game. I might not have done very well, but at least I was there. Amen? You may not feel like you're doing very much spiritually, but if you stay with it, don't quit, don't give up, get in the prayer closet, get in the Word of God, God will help you. He's the one that will help you cross the finish line. So please don't give up on God. Train. You need to go to the gym to work out, and you need to go to the prayer closet to work in. Work in as much as you work out. Now, I want you to look at something. I want to show you verse number 8. Look in verse number 8. Bodily exercise profits a little. All right? But godliness is profitable for all things. Now, America has that right backwards, or backwards. Godly exercise profits a lot. Bodily exercise profits a little. Now, on the screen, I want you to see this. I've done a little chart here. It's a comparison of profit a little and profitable for all things. Now, an athlete is in training, physically training, versus a spiritual training. Pull that up, guys. You should have that up there. All right, here it is right here. Look at this. On the left side is physical working out. It profits a little. An athlete's training, profitable for all things, is spiritual training. An athlete spends time in the gym, right? Because he's exercising. Christians should spend time with God. Look at the next one. Look at the next one. The physical trainer exercises his muscles or her muscles. The Christian exercises our spiritual being, our mind. The next one. The athlete keeps himself healthy. The Christian keeps himself holy. And then the last one, they train for events. Christians train for eternity. Amen? That's why you need to exercise spiritually and stay spiritually fit. All right? 2 Peter 3:18 says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Eternal life, he talks about in verses 9 through 10. Paul mentions eternal life. That's what it's all about, growing spiritually. Let me give you number 3. Number 3, the T there is testimony. Testimony. We all have a testimony, every one of us. So Paul's telling Timothy, listen, keep that testimony pure. Keep it healthy. Work out spiritually for your testimony. Look in verse number 12. Let no one despise or look down on your youth, but be an example. There it is. Be a testimony to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Now here's my question. How are you going to do that? Was Paul just writing to Timothy? No, he's writing to you and I, is he not? The Word of God. So how are you going to keep yourself in shape, in conduct, in purity, in word, in love, in faith? How are you going to keep yourself spiritually fit? You've got to be a testimony by working out. You work in your spiritual life as you get in the Word of God. So he said, reading. Do you know the average man reads 5 books in his lifetime? That's right. Statistics say the average man reads 5 books in their lifetime. And so he says reading. Look what he says in verse number 13. Till I come, Timothy, give attention to reading, to exhortation. That's encouragement. You should be encouraging others. And then to doctrine or teaching. Teaching others or being trained by others. All those things. And in Titus chapter 2, verse 6 through 8, he tells Titus, another pastor, he says, you need to be a pattern, a testimony. Make yourself a living spiritual pattern for others. So what am I saying? Here's what we're saying with the word T for testimony. You and I are a testimony to others, especially to your children. especially to your neighbors and to your co-workers and your classmates. We're all testimonies. So the testimony would be this: are you growing spiritually? Are you spiritually fit? Are you in shape spiritually, as a testimony to those who know you're a Christian and to those who watch our lives? Paul says in 1 Corinthians 9:27, listen to this word: but I discipline my body. I discipline my body and bring it unto submission. Here's a key. Paul knew this. I discipline my body and bring it unto submission, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. It's not going to mean much to your classmate, your co-worker, your neighbor, your children, if you say, oh, don't do that, and then you're doing it. Now, I know we all mess up. We're not perfect, so I'm not saying that. But as a rule of habitual living and lifestyle, if we're continue to have a lifestyle of negative that shouldn't be in sin in our life, how in the world are we going to be a testimony to those who we're trying to help? The fourth T is team. Team. Notice what he says in verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you. Now, Timothy had the gift. He had two gifts mentioned in Scripture here. In verse 11, he had the gift of being a pastor and then a gift of a teacher in verse 13. So Timothy, we know, had the gift of preaching because he was ordained. Talked about there that he was ordained in verse number 14. So he had these gifts, and Paul says, you're a team player. One of the things I try to instill in my staff as we have staff meetings is to be team players. You see, our staff is a body. Our deacons are a body. This church called Lindsay Lane Baptist Church is a body. Now, it doesn't mean we're all alike. Just look at us. We're all different. And sometimes we think different, and we think out loud differently at times. And that's okay. It's okay to disagree. But at the end of the day, remember, we're brothers and sisters in Christ. Whether we're in a staff, whether we're in a deacon body, or in a church, we're all members of the body of Christ. So we should be able to get along with each other, encourage each other. And when we don't, it's a good sign that we're out of shape spiritually. I'm telling you, we're out of shape spiritually if we always have to have our way, we're always negative, we always see the glass half empty. It's a sign that you're out of spiritual shape. And that's what I'm talking about. And so if you're thinking that way, let me ask you a question. How many of those 56 hours are you spending in the Word of God? How many of those 56 hours are you in the prayer closet? Check your attitude out. It'll tell you where you are spiritually, if you're in fitness or not. Amen? Because your body's going to tell on you whether you like it or not. But inside, you'll know when you're out of shape, because your attitude will go haywire on you, and your habits will get the best of you. So I'm telling you, folks, I'm just trying to help us today to get in shape spiritually. We need to learn to get in shape and start doing the things that we know as a Christian that we ought to do. I'm not saying we keep our salvation. I'm not trying to say all that. It's about us. God will help us with that. But if you go to the gym, it's like going to the gym and say, I want to lose 10 pounds in a month. And you never get on a treadmill. You just go look at it. Boy, that's a nice treadmill. That thing, boy, I'm telling you what, if I got on that thing, I'd probably lose weight. You're not losing weight. You're not on it. Coming to church and just watching is not going to help you. You got to hear and apply. You got to get on the treadmill. You got to get involved in the work. Get God in your life and start growing spiritually. It'll help you. It really will. It helps you. There's no I in team. Amen? There's no I in the word team. And so God's given all spiritual gifts like he did Timothy to help us be team player. And then the last one is tapes. So what is that? Well, it starts with a T for one thing, all right? It is a message, all right? Here's what I mean by tapes. I want you to look in verse 15 and 16. Look what he tells him. Meditate on these things. Now, Paul's telling him, you want to grow spiritually, meditate on these things. Give yourself entirely to them, that your progress may be evident to all. Verse 16, take heed. Meditate on them. Take heed to yourself and to the doctrine. Continue in them,
For in doing this, you save both yourself and those who hear you. So what do you mean by tapes? Peyton Manning, arguably, is probably the best quarterback in the NFL. Now, some people argue that, but he probably overall is. Now, why is Peyton Manning probably the best quarterback in the NFL? He probably doesn't have the strongest arm. He's certainly not the fastest quarterback. God help him. Amen? He don't have to be. He's not a running back. But one thing that he is above all the others, he knows the game because he watches the tapes. He knows every opponent he goes up against. He knows the defenses they're in because he studies them. He meditates on these things. He takes heed to the opponent. While the other guys are out there working out physically, Peyton is studying the tapes because he's the quarterback. And so it's kind of like in the spiritual sense, while everybody else is out there running to the gym, getting physically fit, and that's a good thing, by the way, you need to be in the prayer closet. You need to be in the Word of God studying the game plan. Because you're not going to perform physically if you're not in shape spiritually. And so you need to study the tapes. You need to study the book. You need to get in the book, in the prayer closet, so you'll know the game plan. So when the opponent, Satan, comes at you, you've read the defense. You know how to respond to him. You know how to hit him with the Word of God. And then you become a Christian who is in spiritual fitness. And so you can run the race, you can fight the good fight, and you can finish the course. Bradley and I didn't do too good in the physical race. But we're really working in this spiritual race. At the end of the year, about 5 years from now, nobody will know we even ran that race. They won't know that I was first in my class. Of course, I'll tell them, but they'll forget it. And there'll be another 5K come along and another one and another one. But I want to tell you something. This spiritual life I have inside of me is going to live forever. So wouldn't it make sense to nurture and feed my spiritual being more than I would the physical? The Bible says it. Physical exercise profits a little, but godliness is for all time. And so I would encourage you today, work out spiritually. Get in shape. You can do it. God will help you. You can't do it on your own, but you got to discipline yourself. You got to want to grow spiritually. When you do, God will help you. Let me close with this. George Whitefield, evangelist George Whitefield, wrote this. I once witnessed some criminals riding in a cart on their way to the gallows. Now think about what's happening. George Whitefield said this. I saw some criminals. They were riding them in a cart on their way to be hanged, to the gallows. They were arguing like a bunch of kids going on a trip about who should sit on the right side of the cart. Here were men condemned to die that very day, but their focus was on who got the best seat on the way to the execution. But isn't that exactly like everyone who is living for this life rather than for eternity? You see, people in our best obsessed culture who are health nuts. They eat all the proper food. They take vitamins and minerals. They work out to keep in shape. But the fact is, they're going to die. All their efforts may extend their life for a few years if they don't get cancer or die in a car crash or some other way. But they're foolish because they're living as if their life is all there is and if they can extend their life indefinitely. One of the reasons we're so spiritually flabby is that we're caught up with this temporal. We tend to think that we and others will live forever, but we won't. The Bible is clear that as members of a fallen human race, we're all in that cart on our way to the gallows. We'd better be preparing for what lies beyond. That, my friends, is a good word. Let's close. Father, thank you for the word. Thank you for speaking truth into our hearts. And I pray today, Lord, that we would get...